best in news, sport, and entertainment. With Mike Williams on Sydney's 2UE.
With the new year upon us, I have been introducing you to some new segments on the program, and this one is another new segment, which I think is absolutely fabulous. We're calling it Myths and Mysteries, and you may remember we caught up with a gentleman by the name of Richard Saunders from Australian Skeptics and Mystery Investigators, and he's very kindly taken up the challenge to come on in a semi-regular way and talk about some myths and mysteries. And with that, we say a very good evening to Richard Saunders. Go, Richard.
Good evening again, Mike.
How are you?
Not too bad. Sitting healthy.
Good on you. Look, I enjoyed our last conversation. I thought we could maybe encapsulate a few things in future, just every other couple of weeks or whatever, and just catch up with you, which I'm glad you've said yes to.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It does indeed. One of the topics tonight, and I've always been interested in this because I've never really worked out why, and we're talking about spontaneous human combustion. And I suppose many people think that human beings just literally burst into flames, but do they?
Well, it's a very strange story indeed, spontaneous human combustion, and a lot of people out there have certainly heard of it, and some may be even fearful of it, but many people think that human beings can literally burn or burst into flames. Strange cases with photographs by investigating police show the remains of people who have almost entirely been destroyed by fire, even as far as turning their bones into powder, which is very strange indeed. And also, one of the weirdest aspects of these cases was the room and the house that the people were in didn't burn down, yet such things as TV sets and radios and other things in the room were melted but not burnt.
I know, and I've seen some of those photos too, Richard, and it was really, I think the one I saw, I remember, was someone sitting in an armchair, and the whole armchair was burnt, and the person was burnt, and just the surrounds a little, but nothing else. It was really weird.
Yeah, and this really did baffle investigators and police and firemen for a very long time. The case you're referring to was one by the name of Mrs. Mary Reeser from Florida. Now, this was back in 1951. When the police came in, they found the scant remains of her body completely consumed by fire, sitting in an armchair, which was very strange.
Yeah.
And another strange case was Dr. John Bentley, and this was 1966. And what investigators found when they went to his bathroom, or maybe it was one of the family members who originally discovered it, was just a hole burnt in the floor and the lower part of a leg was all that was left.
Oh, yes. I think I've never seen that. Tell us about the wick effect. What is a wick effect?
Okay, now, again, this is very confusing for the police and investigators and scientists. And the reason they hit on eventually, and this is after really strange, far-fetched reasons had been thrown back and forth, like ball lightning or unknown energies from science. And one of the most popular explanations through the last couple of centuries is that the victim simply drank too much alcohol. Now, I think we're all in trouble if that's really the
case. I might keep a bucket of water beside the bed, okay?
That's right.
Yeah.
But all these other explanations really didn't hold water scientifically. But then scientists came across something which they call the wick effect, and this was helped largely by, luckily or unluckily for the victims, sometimes murderers, after killing their victims, would try to burn the body to hide the evidence. And investigators noticed that sometimes the bodies resembled very closely the cases of spontaneous or so-called spontaneous human combustion. One murderer even confessed in France to using Chanel No. 5 to fuel the fire of the victim, which was a way to go, I'm sure.
I guess so. So, well, the upshot of this whole thing, have they actually got to the bottom of this and the title spontaneous combustion?
Yes, they really have. The title spontaneous human combustion really should be stopped now. It's more slow burning, and this is how it works. It's very interesting. There were clues all along to support the wick theory. And the wick theory basically says that once somebody drops a match or something, a cigarette even, onto their clothes, if they can't put it out, and sometimes the person has sadly died by a heart attack or they're in their sleep and they've woken up too late, the fire will burn through their clothes, and it sounds a bit horrible, but it'll burn into their body and start to burn the fat.
Mm.
Fat drips into the clothes themselves. That then fuels the fire, and the clothes act like a wick. If you can imagine a candle, when you light it, the wax is fueling that tiny little wick.
Yeah.
In this case, the body fat, the melted body fat, soaks into the clothes, soaks into the carpet, and even soaks into the armchair, and just causes the fire to burn, but burn in a very slow fashion with low flames, cause a great deal of heat. That's why TVs and other things in the room melt, because there's a huge amount of heat. But the fire, the flames themselves, are very small. So the rest of the room doesn't necessarily catch on fire.
That's very interesting. A lot of people mightn't accept that explanation in terms of there was some tests done with pigs.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, not so long ago, only in 1998, was this theory really put to the test, where the body of a dead pig, as pigs and humans have similar percentage of body fat, was wrapped in a blanket and set on fire in a controlled room to simulate what people thought was spontaneous human combustion.
Mm.
Over the next 6 hours, the pig continued to burn and smolder, and the fat went into the blanket, the fat went into the carpet. And after only 5 hours of this smoldering burning, even the bones began to turn into powder, and more fuel was released from the bone marrow, which itself is about 80% fat. Temperatures in the pig reached 812 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
It's more than enough over 6 or 7 hour period to char the body, the bones, the lot.
That's amazing. Really amazing stuff. The other thing on the agenda tonight, and I've got to tell you before we start this chat, folks, we're talking about fire walking. I've actually done this.
You have?
I have.
That's great, because I'm dying to do it for real myself. I'd love to give it a go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems that some people can do the impossible and walk on fire, and it was a mental thing for me, and I'm trying to think. I think it was during the Walsh show. We set up a fire out the back, and it was mind over matter, I think, was the way we were going with it. And they built this fire, and they got the coals all smoothed out and whatever. And I remember at the time, I just get my brain and I just thought neutral, and I'm going to walk across this and it's going to happen. And I did. And there was only one very small sort of singe on one of the heels, but you just walk quickly and you get across to the other side.
That's right. And for a long time, people were really baffled about this, because although we hear the term mind over matter a lot, when it comes to something like fire and its reaction with the body, mind over matter really can't explain why the feet don't burn. So scientists and skeptics, I guess, really looked into this. And it really does seem on the face of it to be quite impossible. And some cultures ranging from the Pacific Islands to even Sri Lanka do fire walking as part of their rich traditions, and you can go and visit those and they put on a show.
Mm.
But yeah, as you're right in thinking that today fire walking is used mainly by motivational speakers and the New Age movement. In fact, people can pay hundreds of dollars to get enough mystical energy in order to do fire walking, usually at the end of a 2 or 3 day course. But the truth of the matter is quite interesting from a scientific point of view. It turns out that anybody can do fire walking, and all you need is just a little dose of courage to get going and walk across the coals. And that's the key to the whole thing. It's really hot coal walking as opposed to fire walking, because by the time people actually get to walk on the bed of coals, the fire is quite died down. And it turns out that coals and ash are a poor conductor of heat. And if your feet are only in contact with the hot coals for a short amount of time, and typically 2, 3, 4, 5 steps and you're off,
yeah,
there's simply not enough time for all the heat to be transferred into your foot. In fact, way back in 1994, the famous marathon runner Steve Monageti took part in Australian Skeptics Fire Walk in Ballarat to demonstrate to everybody that anybody at all can do fire walking, and a lot of the locals joined in and they didn't have to pay any money for that.
Yeah, only for the hospital. Anyway, let's not go there. Now, look, at the end of each of these segments, we're going to get people to go to a website, to look up things we've talked about. Is that right, Richard?
Yeah, I've set up a little information corner if anybody wants to follow up on some of the things that we've been discussing. If they go to www.mysteryinvestigators, and that's one word, .com/myths, they can read more.
So that's all the W's, mysteryinvestigators.com/myths, M-Y-T-H-S.
That's right.
Fabulous talking to you, Richard. Thank you for your time tonight. And we'll catch you very shortly for another look into the myths and mysteries of this world.
Thanks, Mike. Good to talk with you.
You too. Good on you. That's Richard Saunders there from the Skeptics, Australian Skeptics Society and Mysterious Things, Investigators. Hope you enjoyed that. And we'll be discussing those sorts of things. Now, I'll tell you what I'd like you to do. If you would like to email me, and if you would like a particular topic covered, something that may have happened in the past or something that has sort of been in the back of your brain and you quite couldn't work it out, why don't you do that? Just call it Myths and Mysteries. And you send off to Mike Williams, one word, mikewilliams@2ue.com.au. mikewilliams@2ue.com.au. And just, don't make it too long, but just put in asterisk form, maybe the time, the date, or a particular event that happened that is still a mystery. We'd love to talk to you, okay? We'll be back.